Is all this trade stuff with China just a threat? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The U.S. this week published a list of tariffs on Chinese goods. China now has the yin of that yang. But for now, these are just proposals. None of these tariffs has actually been applied. And in the face of financial market turbulence, President Trump's new chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, went on Fox Business News yesterday to emphasize this is just, in his words, a shot across the bow.
There's no trade war here. What you've got is the early stages of a process that will include tariffs, comments on the tariffs, then ultimate decisions and negotiations. There's already back channel talks going on. So, look, I understand the stock market's anxiety. I get that. But on the other hand, don't overreact. We'll see how this works out.
As our Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, there are steps that come first.
The U.S. Trade Representative will try to settle the dispute in the World Trade Organization. The Treasury Department will try to limit Chinese investment in U.S. intellectual property. And there will be a 60-day comment period for the public to weigh in before a final decision on tariffs is made. Gary Huffbauer is a former Treasury Department official. He says there will be venting from big business groups.
They won't try to defend China, I don't think, but they will try to point out, you know, the collateral damage to Americans.
Huffbauer says U.S. car makers and farmers will weigh in with their concerns about retaliatory tariffs from China. Will the Trump administration listen?
I think they will.
Clayton Allen is with Height Capital Markets.
I think that there will be a very significant amount of pressure that the administration will be unable to ignore.
Allen says President Trump can easily drop products from the tariff list. A final decision on tariffs isn't expected until this summer. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
As the tariff story escalates, many sectors of business are nervously watching, including retailers. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports on that.
A lot of the products sold at American stores are made in China, like dishwashers and TVs. Both are on the list of Chinese imports the Trump administration wants to hit with tariffs. Hun Kwaik at the Retail Industry Leaders Association says those tariffs would increase costs for retailers and eventually for shoppers.
Retailers have really narrow margins when it comes to consumer products. There's no other place for that increased cost to go.
The proposed tariffs could also hit products the Trump administration hasn't even targeted, like T-shirts. Mike Natenshone runs Marine Layer, a casual clothing retailer in San Francisco. It knits T-shirts in California on machines that are made in China. And those machines are on the tariff list.
If those machines get taxed and raise the price of producing domestically, paradoxically, that would probably cause us to move some of our manufacturing overseas.
And sending manufacturing jobs overseas is not really the point of tariffs. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Online, we have this exercise. What might you purchase now if you really thought tariffs are on the way? We take a crack at answering that and other questions submitted by listeners, marketplace.org. And the markets today, the 100 share index in London is up 1.2%. U.S. stock index futures are up, plus 0.5% for the NASDAQ future, plus 0.4% for the S&P future. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We feel it's important work that we're already doing, and with your help, we will do more of it. We're counting on you to partner with us so that we can grow and keep getting better, especially now when it's increasingly difficult to cut through the media clutter and bring objective, trustworthy reporting front and center. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor and support independent public service journalism. The payoff comes in knowing that you're helping keeping people informed about economic forces that affect our lives. If you could, donate today at marketplace.org. Thank you. How about a new job?
So I see this on the side of the recruiter all the time, where people are coming in either with all the mission in the world and no skills, or all the skills in the world and no mission. And it's very rare for a candidate or anybody to actually communicate both.
Dev Aujla is CEO of the recruiting firm Catalog and author of a new book, 50 Ways to Get a Job, an Unconventional Guide to Finding Work on Your Terms.
Jobs are shifting consistently and our careers are completely nonlinear. And so people are having to find a new way to navigate the job search. And one of the things that happened in while researching for this book was that I read every career book from the 70s forward. And it was just, in fact, none of the advice has changed. It's literally the same thing that's been said since.
And your idea is that some changes are necessary here, given the fact that you're probably not going to find a job at 22 and a half years old that you're going to keep to 65.
Right. I mean, people are making learning-based career decisions now instead of stability-based ones, which is a pretty dramatic shift. That's why people are asking themselves, like, have I learned enough at this job? Where's the next job? What is the next company that I could work for that makes me feel good?
Well, on this program, we don't shy away from the practical. So let's get a taste of some of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, number one thing I'd tell people to do is to make a to-learn list, and which is a list of everything you want to learn, whether it's really small stuff or sort of the big philosophical questions, if that's what you're interested in. And then what you do is you go make a list of every company, industry, or job title that could actually teach you those things. So all of a sudden, you're going to find companies that you never would have thought you would want to work for, that don't show up right away, that you don't think about, but they might be the perfect next job for you because it might enable you to get paid to answer four or five of the things on your to-learn list.
What's a way in? I mean, like, how do you think about your a way to sort of crack that once you figured out where you want to go?
So I recommend sending this. It's a magic bullet email, but it only works because it actually takes a lot of work. You actually have to have done the thing. So it's like three ways that you actually have mission fit, which are stories from your career, from past jobs, and then three ways that you have a real skill, also pulling in different stories from past jobs. And then the third paragraph is, I'm starting to do this myself. I'm starting to research this myself, and I found you, and let's get a coffee. And that just flips the story, because normally the way we tell our individual stories is chronological. I did this, and then I did that, and I moved throughout my career. And if you just change it so it's more about the mission and the stories that represent from your career, about that to the skills, you're going to get the meeting, you're going to have the conversation, and you aren't going to be applying coldly online.
Dev Ajla is the CEO of the recruiting firm Catalog. The new book is called 50 Ways to Get a Job, an unconventional guide to finding work on your terms. Dev, thank you.
Thank you so much.
He's got an interesting thing in there about mentors. They don't have to be gray-haired wizards, but can be folks just a year or two ahead of you on the career curve. And as you enter a job search, he recommends one of the first things to do is download a copy of your own bank statement. All will be explained if you listen to the director's cut of that interview at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.